All right, so we're live now testing out some new equipment that we had to get today. So we'll see if this comes up. And you are in there, by the way.
I went in
It
there.
did show you in there, yes. It
Nobody
showed.
saw it though,
Yes,
right?
it's on here. It's live. Yes.
Aww.
Cuz this starts quicker, so
Where's the
yeah, you're on
chat?
there. It's
Nah.
coming up. The chat's coming up right now, yeah.
Yeah, but nobody saw me.
Yes, they did.
It
Your
was
head
too
poked through
early.
here.
You already had people on there?
No, this once you start this program over here,
Yeah.
before there's a 40 minute, there's a four or
Oh,
40
you
second
start. It's
delay.
already on
Yeah, so
there.
you're on here.
Oh no.
Your
I
BDN
didn't
sticking
even
through
know you
there.
were on. I was joking.
That's
Don't
funny,
that
man.
is funny.
Okay, so can you hear me okay? Let me know if you can hear okay. We just bought a brand new interface here.
Audio interface.
Audio interface. So I hopefully we got the mic situation taken care of. But we'll see what happens here. I need to find out if you can hear me okay, if everything's working all right over here. Okay, Steven says it's loud and clear, so that's good. All right, Steven can hear loud and clear. All right.
That head, you didn't see that. That didn't happen.
Right, let's see. Somebody's all right. So we'll get some people on here. And you hear just fine. Okay, good. The volume's coming in good. Sounds like. And I'll wait for some people to get on here and we'll continue to kind of scroll through some things here as I tweak a few things here and look at a few
I
of the
see you
things
got some
here.
delay on here.
Let's see. Yep, there's like a 30 second delay. Let's see here. There we go. I think I'll just cover that. And boy, I'll tell you what, just in passing yesterday, you can't help but talk about prophecy, current events, and all of those things. Actually, this is supposed to be like this, I think. All right. And not talk about the timing of the rapture and things like that. And boy, I'll tell you what, it does cause, let's see here. It does cause a little bit of a ruckus, as well as it probably should when we talk about biblical matters like this. But anyway, so I'm just trying to figure out if I have this set up right here. I'll get this right. I think that the volume's probably coming in good. It probably sounds good. And I saw some people. I saw some people that were on there the other day on our broadcast the other day, and they weren't exactly too happy with the discussion, it looked like, in talking about this topic. And as I open up about this, I don't know how long I'm going to have today, just because I got started late. We had to download the drivers for this new Focusrite. I call it the Scarlet Harlot, but it's the Scarlet Focusrite four input, four output interface that I had to go pick up today because I got tired of everything crashing on me, the audio crashing, because it kept happening. And I was like, okay, well, we're done with this audio crashing. There we go. All right. We're done with this audio crashing. That's not going to happen anymore, Lord willing. So we're going to use something different here. And that's what we did. We changed it. And we Brother Aaron and I went and we picked this up today. And well, that was weird. We went and picked this up today and got it installed, and I think it's working fine. So, Aaron, you played the audio over there on your phone. Does it sound okay? Can you hear it good?
Yeah.
All right, good. You can hear it. We want to make sure everybody can hear well. And it's loud, and it should be. The microphone was great. This old interface right here, this went bad.
After 4 years,
we used it for a very long time, and it went kaput. So
we're going to raffle it off later.
So I'll autograph it, and we'll auction it off for charity. My daughter, it's her birthday today.
Yeah.
And no, I'm just kidding. Hey, you know, my wife said that she was at the store, and some lady gave charity $18 for her birthday. I thought that was funny. She just texted me and said that.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So.
You can buy a lot of gum.
Yeah. Let's see. All right. So there's going to be some various. There's going to be some people that come on here. And this topic really gets. Man, I've had some people get fired up over this. This topic is almost as bad as Christmas. I mean, it might actually be as bad as Christmas. I don't know. But the Christmas doc, when I preach on Christmas and I talk about that, boy, oh boy, oh boy, does that get some people fired up? Anyway, so this topic is going to get people fired up, of course. It always does. It kind of has to, which is fine, but I mean, it's very important that, you know, you understand that we're not to, like, go ballistic on one another. Oh, whoops, I don't know what happened there. I hit the wrong button. That's what happened. We're not to go ballistic over this topic and, like, treat each other like we're not saved if we have a disagreement about the timing of the rapture. All right? It's really not kind to treat people like that just because you differ with them on that, on the rapture, okay? There should be a proper attitude that comes with that. And it should not be one of like anger and malice and, you know, I mean, you got, what's his name out there? No. What's that guy's name? What's his name? No, who's the guy? Who's the guy? I'm trying to. I'm. Who's the guy that? Brian Denlinger.
Oh.
Brian Denlinger did a video. It's this video like the god of post-trib or something like that, as if it's another god, as if we serve another Christ, because there's a disagreement of the timing of it. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Grow up. I mean, you're not preaching another Jesus. You're not saying that Jesus isn't the Jesus of the Bible. You're not taking away from the attributes of Christ. You're not doing any of those things. So, yeah, the false god of post-trib, that's what he calls it. That's just absolutely ridiculous. And I'm going to tell you why some of these people go so ballistic in the pre-trib movement. Some of the reasons they go so ballistic in that movement over that subject is because most of their theology all hinges on the eminency doctrine. Okay? Most of it hinges upon that. And their dispensationalism hinges on the doctrine of eminence. So if you don't agree with that, and then they think you can't take my blessed hope away, and they get all excited about it, and it ends up being a knockdown dragout. Well, I'm not going to do that. And I don't do that. I have friends that are pre-trib. I think they're wrong, but I don't think it makes them any less saved than it does me for being post-trib. I think in matters of prophecy, you're going to find that we're going to be wrong at times. And you're going to, you know, I changed my position. I used to be pre-trib. And then I just kept studying the Bible for myself and didn't believe what Larkin and Ruckman and a lot of those other guys said about it. And I read what the Bible says about it, and I came to the place of, you know what? It really isn't there. It's really not there, and that's the problem. You want it to be there, and hey, I want it to be there. Somebody got upset with me the other day because I said, well, give me one Bible verse. And then they acted like I was some kind of, I mean, I don't know if that's what they meant by that, but it appeared to me, and I like the person, so I don't have anything against them, but it appeared to me they were saying, well, that's like a Jesuit tactic. Well, I'm not a Jesuit, and I'm not an inquisitor, and I'm not trying to deceive anybody. I'm trying to read the Bible for what it says and believe what God's word says. Right? I want to believe what God's word says. And if God's word says that there's some things that have to happen first before the coming of the Lord, and there's going to be some things that happen, well then, you know, I've got to believe what God's word says, not what I want it to say, not what I want to happen. And it used to be that way. That's what people really wanted, is to know the truth when it comes to that and not be deceived by lies. So as we look at this subject, I think we ought to be careful about how we treat one another. You know, nobody is discounting who Christ is. Nobody is in this subject as far as either direction. Nobody is attempting to take away from the deity of Christ. Nobody is perverting the deity of Christ or, you know, preaching heresy. They have a disagreement on the timing of when something happens, when something is going to happen. So, well, I had to come on a bit late because I had to put this Focusrite audio interface system that I had to purchase. It was $229. And it's why the audio kept kicking us off. So I'll be able to actually do interviews and a few other things. Also, because it has plenty of inputs to be able to do some extra things. So we had to purchase that. We had to get that. In order to be able to do the broadcast effectively here. So it took longer than I was hoping it would take to upload all or download or whatever you do with all these drivers. Yeah, I'll answer the whole Christ is a wife beater thing. That is just ridiculous, okay? First of all, tribulation is not wrath. I'm going to say that again to you. Tribulation is not wrath. Nowhere in the Bible does it say tribulation is wrath. All right? And secondly, Job went through a lot of things. And I don't think you could consider God beating Job, because Job went through tribulations and trials. That's just ridiculous. That argument is so was God a wife beater when the Waldensians, millions of them, lost their lives? Right? Right, when Christians were thrown to lions, when all these people died.
Drowned in the river.
You know? I mean, think about it. So it's really ridiculous. It's really ridiculous the level that this is at of the argument when it takes this nasty turn. Of, you know, besmirching God if the rapture is a different time period, well, then that means God beats his wife. That's so stupid. What kind of logic is that? How is that even logical? The argument for that is just absolutely ridiculous. Well, of course the Lord is the one sending the Antichrist. But God sends lots of trials. All trials come from above, don't they? Really? So you don't, let me ask you a question. For these people that believe that, do, and I'm not even really talking about that today, but do all trials come from above? Or are there trials that are out of the authority of God that happened to us that God does not allow? Think about that. Are there trials that God does not allow so that somehow something slips past God and gets to you? Just think about that for a moment, how foolish that is. All right, I'll save that for Wednesday. We're going to deal with tribulation is not wrath. I should probably, if I didn't already title this, I might deal with it today. It makes me, it's just ridiculous. That tribulation equals wrath is just, it's nonsense. But anyway. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2. But I'll leave that thought for you. God sends everything our way. He allows everything to be sent our way. Now, God allows the Antichrist to reign. All things are done by the power of God. All things. Don't believe me? Okay, I got one for you. Oh, man, see? I wasn't going to even go here. I almost have to change my title. But I feel, I'm like being drawn to do it, Brother Aaron.
I get it. It's terrible.
It's like I'm being led to do it almost because of such misunderstanding of how God works in his children's lives. Right? Man, I'm telling you what, I'm going to look up I got to check my notes here for a second. All right. Hold on. I'm. Because see, now I. Let's see here. Hang on a second.
Allowed to make war with the saints.
There's, I have so many of them. I do. I'm trying to find my note here.
It's an emotional stance.
Oh, it certainly is. I'm trying to find my notes here now. I want to switch this almost. I'm going to switch my title. I'm going to do it. Never eaten tacos. And I still have to. I have to go run on my elliptical too. I have to. No, before I eat tacos, it's just the way it is. All right, let's. What's that? Where in the world is that? Well, honestly, I don't even need those notes. What do you think about that? I have a Bible, so I don't need them. I know what I'm doing already. All right, I'm gonna switch this right now, and I'm gonna switch this just because I can. How about that? And you know why? Because it bothers me. It really bothers me, and here's why. And that's just it right there. Okay. All right. We're going to talk about this right now. Tribulation is not wrath. Now, there's a great misunderstanding here when it comes to end times. When it comes to the end times, there's a great misunderstanding here in life in general, I believe. Let's look up that word tribulation. We're going to look that up here, okay? Tribulation is seen in the scriptures. The word 22 times right there. I'm going to put the little star there. 26 times. Now, tribulation is all through the Bible. What does that word mean? Look what it says here. It says here, when thou art in tribulation, it says to thee, Israel, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. So there will be tribulation, right? What are tribulation? What are they? They're trials. Tribulation or trials. That's what they are. Now, does God send tribulation the way of his saints? Right? Does God send tribulation to the saints? Are trials sent by God, or are they sent outside of God's authority and power? What was Job sent? Right? Job had to get permission. Or, I mean, Satan had to get permission from God to go after Job, didn't he? To send him through the trials, Job's trials. How bad were Job's trials? Think about that. Look at the instance of Job. Look at Job's life. And by the way, I question the authority of people that say, the authority of the understanding who say, the great tribulation. It says tribulation, but that great tribulation is 7 years. I don't, whatever. Anyway, look at this. Job was blessed by God. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said to Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Who made the hedge? God did. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. Now look what happened here. Satan said, Job's going to curse you to his face if you touch him. Well, who touches him then? Satan. Well, how did he do that? By permission of God. Well, why would God beat Job like that? God wouldn't beat his own bride. God wouldn't beat his own bride.
You mean he's sovereign and there's still bad things happen?
Christine Jane, quit asking me for my email address. That's like the sixth time you've asked me that on a broadcast. You probably got a fake account and you're asking for it on purpose so somebody will spam me. I really don't want any of your nonsense. So if you don't want to like pay attention to what we're doing here, then go ahead and fly away. That'd be good. Because I'm tired of that nonsense. I don't have time to play your games. It's ridiculous. Okay, so here's the thing. Job went through trials. Was God, but God doesn't beat his own like that. God doesn't do that. Really? What's he have a rod for if he doesn't beat his own? For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Well, God would surely never let Satan do... Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Well, wait a minute. Well, that doesn't fit the narrative that God doesn't beat his own. God's not a wife beater. He wouldn't let Satan. I mean, surely there's no example in the scriptures that God allowed Satan to afflict the saints of God. I mean, surely there's no example. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, authorize Mike. Get rid of Christine Jane. That'd be all right. Surely there's no example of that. Surely there isn't any example of that anywhere, right? It's right here. Here's an example right here. That's where it is. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves, right? We see that. And there was a day when his sons, now it's Job, right? When his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them, and the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came another. So what happens here? Everybody dies. That's what happens. All his land is taken away. Everything he has is taken away. Or not his land. All of his animals are taken away. All of his children are killed. Everything gone. Just like that. Still want to say that there's no example of that? It's a perfect example of someone going through tribulation. Right? That's an example of God's dealing with someone. I got another one for you. So you say, well, that's the Old Testament. Okay. I'll give you a New Testament one. Here it is, Acts 2:23. You might say, well, God wouldn't beat his bride. Well, he did his son. He did his son. Right? Look at Acts 2:23. Look at Acts 2:23. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Well, wait a minute. God only had one son without sin. But he never had a son without afflictions. Here it is right here. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. But Judas betrayed him. Yeah. But it was according to the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. See that? And he did always those things that pleased his father. And yet it pleased God to bruise him. Isaiah 53. Right? It pleased God to bruise him. Here's an example of tribulation, of trials that the Lord Jesus Christ went through, that God determined that he should go to. So to act as if that's not the case, that God doesn't work like that, well, we start off in the Old Testament with Job and we see God does work like that, right? That Jesus suffered in the New Testament. Jesus suffered. And the Bible says it was the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Right? How hard is that to understand that God does allow his children to go through many, many, many things? Right? Very common, very clear. Go back to that word tribulation. It doesn't mean wrath, although God poured out his wrath upon his son. That's a different story altogether. But he sent his son through trials, didn't he? How about Job? Job was sent through many trials and tribulations. Right? Let's look at this word. It says here that in Matthew 13:21, it says, "Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." Well, when tribulation is going to come to these people. Tribulation comes to these people. They're offended by the word, or persecution ariseth. But that word tribulation, it means the same as trials. Right? Matthew 24. Now, here it talks about great tribulation. It doesn't say the great tribulation, but it says in verse number 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." The time will be great. And the world is going to see a lot of things. But that doesn't mean it's the wrath of God. The wrath of God is poured out in the day of the Lord. That's when the wrath of God is poured out. The day of the Lord. That's when you find the wrath of God. This tribulation is not the wrath of God. Look at this. It says immediately after the tribulation of those days. So after that, when is that? That's the sixth seal, when it's broken. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man." After what? After the tribulation of those days. That's when. Right? Matthew 13:24, "But in those days after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light." Another example. "These things have I," John 16:33, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." You're going to have tribulation in this life. For some reason, I wish I could get, and I don't know if Aaron knows how to do this, but I can't get the definition to these words up here. I don't know what in the world's wrong with that. I don't know. It must be the way it's set up on this. But I can't look up the Webster's 1828 dictionary on there. I don't know if it's like the way it's lined up or what the deal is. Oh, how'd you do that?
It was just hidden down the bottom.
Luke must hide it. Luke hides everything.
He doesn't want to learn stuff.
Is that because he has a long neck or something, and his like long neck just hides things, and he's got to have a screen that big?
Screen.
He's always like hiding things. I can never find it.
His seat is
like he's got a Nephilim bike seat on there. It's like huge. He hides everything.
It's higher than the handlebar by a foot. Just so his feet.
Look at tribulation.
Don't hit him in the chest.
Severe affliction, distress of life, vexation, troubles and distresses which proceed from persecution. That's what the Bible says about tribulation. Now, the word has to mean the same thing consistently all the way through. And by the way, I'm gonna take Matthew chapter 24. Maybe I'll do it Wednesday. And I'll deal with Matthew 24. I intend to deal with all these things in the rapture. I really didn't want to, but I kind of think it's time to do it. I haven't done it in years, since about 2012, so I figured I ought to do it. Amen. John 16:33 talks about these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. You're going to have tribulation. There's another example of that tribulation. Look at this. These are all examples. He tells in Deuteronomy 4:30, when thou art in tribulation in Israel, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God and shalt be obedient unto his voice. Judges 10:14, go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Right? First Samuel 16:24, and behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Right? Pretty easy. Matthew 13:21, yet he hath not root in himself. We talked about that one. 24. Acts 14:22. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Through much tribulation. We must enter the kingdom of God.
Must.
Through many trials and tribulations. Look at this. It's right there. There's that word again. Oh, I got to pull it up from the bottom somehow.
Yeah, all my bruises and cuts. Don't look at those. I just got stoned to die this all. That's not what's important.
All right, let's see.
We can preach to the
general. How does that do that? There we go. Severe affliction. Distresses of life, troubles or distresses. So, in other words, he's saying through much trouble, enter into the kingdom of God. Through much trouble, through many trials, through persecutions, through severe afflictions. That's what he's saying there. Very plainly, very clearly. That we must. Romans chapter 2, verse number 9. He says, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. Romans 5:3. Look at this. Let me ask you a question. Does God get glory if you go through tribulation? Does he get glory? Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans chapter 5, verse number 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into the grace, into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So, we glory in tribulations because of the work of tribulation that it does on our faith. That word tribulation is the same as trying. Trials. Why? What does it do? That the trying of your faith worketh patience. Patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. That's the work of God, that tribulation that works patience in us. For some reason, people think God, well, if the Antichrist shows up on the scene, or when the Antichrist shows up on the scene, that and times and tribulation times come, and times of tribulation and trials, and they come, that, well, that's somehow not fair because we're not supposed to go through that. That we're not supposed to go through that, so we should just, it's not applicable to us. We're not going to go through any hard times. Why? Because we're privileged Americans to think we don't have to? Because we think for some reason we're privileged Americans and we shouldn't go through any? Yeah, I wonder if they said that about the Waldenses, right? When they're going through everything, or the Lollards, or the Donatists, when Augustine and all those guys are killing the Donatists off. When the Donatists stood up to Constantine in Rome. I suggest a better book than Fox's Book of Martyrs. I suggest Martyrs' Mirrors. It's a way better book than Fox's book. Fox left out the Baptist persecution. Anyway. But he talks about glorying in tribulations. That God gets the glory. And not only so, we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Look at Romans 8:35. Oh, wait a minute now. Oh, hold on. God's a wife beater. This can't be true. Brother Aaron, I don't know. Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of God, the love of Christ? Look, you know the first thing he says? Shall tribulation. God, you sent me trials. You don't love me anymore. Now, that's how we are sometimes, isn't it? As Christians. Agreed. Yeah. Agreed. When we go through trials, we think sometimes, well, God must not love me anymore. I must not be saved because I'm going through this trial. Because God certainly wouldn't beat his wife. God certainly wouldn't beat his children. God certainly wouldn't let something so bad happen to me. Wait, what did he say? What's the first thing Paul said? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall trials? Shall tribulation? Or distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? That's everything that's going to happen in the Revelation. When the Antichrist comes on the scene, all those things are going to happen. And what is Paul telling you? That none of this stuff is going to separate you from the love of God. Whatever you go through, Christ's love is going to be there for you. That's what he says.
Singing in the fire.
Right? That's what he's saying. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Or distress or persecution, right?
Is that good news or what?
Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now that's a blessed hope right there. Because hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is spread abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. For I am persuaded. Paul said, I am persuaded. Right? I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He says it all. That's everything. Neither death nor life. Paul was persuaded.
That means he had solid evidence.
Mm-hmm. It was very clear to him. Well, let me ask you a question about that. Paul was persuaded. Now, are you persuaded that it was in God's power to stop Stephen from being murdered? Was it in God's power to stop that? Well, of course it was. Of course it was. Of course it was in God's power to stop that. But he didn't. Was it wrong? No, he's God. He's always right. Was Stephen separated from the love of God because he was stoned to death? Well, no, he wasn't separated from the love of God because he was stoned to death. Because Acts chapter 7 shows us that he saw up into heaven and he saw the glory of God and he saw Christ and he went home. Right? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution? Why is tribulation first? Why is tribulation first? Well, no, now, come on. God wouldn't do that to his wife. He wouldn't send her through tribulations. Romans 12, verse number 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. It said patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. You know, you and I, by the way, let me stop here and say this. No, it's not clear that Trump's the Antichrist. First of all, Trump likes women a lot. He's a stinking womanizer, and he loves women a lot. Okay? He's fat. He's not that impressive to look at, and the Antichrist is going to be all of those things. And a mighty warrior, and everybody's going to like him. And not everybody likes Trump. Most people hate his guts. So, anyway. Now, back to this Bible study. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. See that? All of those things. You can go argue on your own page, but you're not arguing Trump's the Antichrist on this page. I'm not a Trump supporter, but I also have two eyeballs in my head, and I have a King James Bible. So.
He's a Antichrist.
What's with everybody trying to interrupt me today on here? Isn't it weird?
You're kicking their Mickey.
Everybody wants to interrupt on there today. It's like, what's going on with all these people? Yeah, I'm going to have to. All right, here we go. 2 Corinthians 1:4. Well, now, this kind of messes up your theology a little bit if you don't believe that God would send his people through any tribulation at all. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation? What? Wait, what? What?
That was Benny Hinn's code right there.
What? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. What is he likening it to? Tribulation and trouble. Tribulation and trouble. And trolls are part of my tribulation. Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them. Oh, that was loud. That we may be able to comfort them. How? By the comfort wherewith we are comforted. That's how. But he says here that he comfort us in all our tribulation. So does that mean that we have to go through some for us to be comforted? Yeah. And that's on every level, friend. Let me tell you something. Regardless of what you believe about the timing of the rapture, let me assure you of one thing by the word of God. You're going to go through some trials. You're going to go through some heartache. You're going to go through some pain. You're going to go through some things as Christians. And it's going to try your faith. But you need to trust the Lord through it. You need not to lean on your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You have to let the Lord Jesus Christ minister to your soul during those times. Let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Very plainly, tribulation and troubles. Very plain. Same thing. All right. Let's keep moving here. Paul's telling them that those troubles were on every side of him. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. It is God that comforts the downcast. If you've ever been depressed or discouraged or any of those things, it is God that comforts. It is God that sends the comfort. And only God can really comfort us. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. So Paul is talking about that. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 13, he continues on, wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. Paul said, don't look at my tribulations and faint over it. My troubles, my trials, don't look at them and cause you to stumble or faint at the hard times that I'm having. Right? Very clear. Don't faint. I started a new series on the Christian race. And Sunday, it was the nature of Christian endurance. Sunday afternoon, I preached another message called What Christians Are to Endure in the Race. And this week, Lord willing, I'm going to talk about faint not in the race. We're going to talk about not fainting in the Christian race. So hopefully you'll be able to hear those. Those are on sermon audio, and they'll eventually be on YouTube. We had some problem with video. I think we got it figured out maybe, but we'll see. Okay, Ephesians 3:13. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Wherefore, I desire that you faint not at my tribulation for you. That you faint not. 1 Thessalonians 3:4. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So Paul was concerned that they saw his tribulation that he suffered, and that he was concerned that, oh no, they're gonna balk at it, they're gonna run at it, they're gonna run away from God because of it, and I don't want that to happen to them. So Paul was concerned about that. So he sent to them and said, don't faint at my tribulations. Second Thessalonians, chapter 1, verse number 4. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. All of them. For some reason, that Joseph Waller guy's obsessed with things. Person needs help, man.
Yeah. He keeps coming back.
Yeah, I don't know how he keeps doing it.
He just opens other accounts.
How do you just keep opening the same account with the same name over and over again? It's weird to me.
He uses different emails.
Who has that many emails? Who's that obsessed with? Who has that many devils in them? Man, Legion. That's who.
Yeah. Stay away from my pigs.
Yeah.
Waller.
So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. And I would like to note that the Bible does not say, let me look again just to make sure. The Great My King James Bible does not say the Great Tribulation. It actually doesn't say that. It says Great Tribulation, but it does not list it as the Great Tribulation. At least not in my Bible anyway. Maybe yours says that. Which is, by the way, look at this. It says, so that we ourselves also glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God that you may be counted worthy. Look at this. Paul's talking to them right there. It applies to us today. Look what he says to them. So that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is a manifest, it's manifest token of the righteous judgment of God that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which ye also suffer. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. When? Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. When? Are you paying attention? When? He's going to tell you when right here. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Well, that's when he says when. When he comes with vengeance, how has he destroyed the Antichrist? By the word of his mouth? When does that happen?
The last Trump.
At the end, the last Trump. And not Trump Pence. Not Mike Pence. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That happens at the end. In flaming fire.
And it's not away from the presence of the Lord. It's from the presence of the Lord.
Right.
Away isn't in that.
There's your tribulations.
Mm-hmm. Hell is worse, though.
There it is. Hell is much worse. Look at that in 2 Thessalonians. It's right there. Exactly. 1 John 1, 9. Uh-oh. What does John say? I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John said it. John said it. He said, I'm your brother and companion in tribulation and the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. The kingdom and patience. That we wait on the Lord. That we are patient through all our tribulations. We are patient. Revelation 2:9. He's writing to the church of Smyrna. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. That's God telling them. That's Jesus telling them what's going to happen here. Right? He's telling them, you're going to have tribulation. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison that you may be tried. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 2:22. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. There's great tribulation. He's speaking to a church. He's speaking to Laodicea. That's what he says to him. Right? Revelation 7:14. And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Great tribulation is found three times in the King James Bible. Three times. You know what else? A similar word to tribulations is trials. We find trial six times in the King James Bible. Let's see if trials are there anymore. Six times trial is in the Bible. If the scourge, Job 9:23, if the scourge slays suddenly, he will laugh at the trial of the innocent. Ezekiel 21:13, because it is a trial, and what if the sword contemn even the rod? It shall be no more, saith the Lord God. 2 Corinthians 8:2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. Hebrews 11:36, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, may over of bonds and imprisonments. They all went through that in Hebrews 11. Read the hero chapter. They all went through it. Right? They all went through it. 1 Peter 1:7. Let's see here. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. It's the trial of your faith, the fiery trial, right, which we will find next. In 1 Peter 4:12, Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. Trial. The fiery trial that's to try you. There's a trying of the faith, friend. There always will be. James 1 talks about that. And it all has, notice all these things concerning tribulation and trials, they deal with patience. All of them do. Knowing this, James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. My brethren, let's back up to verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Patience must have the perfect work. And it has it through trials. But you'll notice that word patience is one that is used often with trials. It's used often with that. Because the trying of your faith, it worketh patience. Paul talked about that patience that he had. Be patient, therefore, brethren, at the coming of the Lord. Be patient. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. So what is he saying there? He's saying that they need to have patience, and that through all of your trials, and Job went through terrible trials. 10 of his children died. All of his riches were gone. His health was gone. All of it is gone. But Job had patience to wait on the Lord. And you have to have patience to wait on the Lord. And there's a fiery trial that is to try you. There's really a lot of people that try to stalk me on here. It's really creepy.
You need to hit the thief in the night. That's for people who aren't watching.
Yeah, I'll talk about that, sure.
They're not looking.
Yeah. Well, it says that they're drunk.
Yeah.
We're not really going to answer everything today, but we can look at that. It says, for yourselves know perfectly. But the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord is so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, by the way, it's talking about the day of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. When every eye shall see him.
Right, that's the day of the Lord. Then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light. And the children of the day, we are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but obtained salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Even also, as also you do. Well, we're not afraid of that.
Well, when we preach the wrath, people go,
psh. Right?
They're blind and they're drunk and they're asleep and they ain't watching for the Lord.
Right, and Peter talks about that.
Yeah.
He says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. This is when the day of the Lord comes. Shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. That's the end. The thief in the night is for what? It's for those that aren't paying attention.
Yeah.
It's for those that aren't awake, those that are not saved.
Like when the rain fell.
Right.
Yeah.
They, just like in the days of Noah.
Yeah.
They were eating and drinking and given in marriage. What happened?
It's gonna rain. Oh, shut up, Noah.
Yeah, they didn't listen to Noah until the flood came and swept them all away.
Yeah. It was a big surprise.
Right? It was also, but it wasn't a thief in the night to Noah.
Every eye saw it coming in the clouds.
Right. It wasn't a thief in the night to Noah, though, was it?
No. He knew about that for, what, 120 years?
Sure, he knew it was coming. He wasn't asleep. He was awake. Anyway, so Amen. There you go. That's the tribulation that the Bible talks about. And that's every reference to that tribulation that is there. And especially Matthew, you know, Matthew 24, we'll get into specifics on it. But I will tell you this, that it's not what the Ruckmanites and everybody tried to describe and what they try to say. Unfortunately, I have people that disagree with me, and I understand that, and we can have those disagreements. It's not that big of a deal in that sense of understanding of it. I think there's a lot that's going to factor into the deception that's coming. I think it will. But here's the thing. It's when you start to look at this very clearly going down through the scriptures, it isn't what they claim it is. It isn't what God is saying in the Word of God about the tribulation. And I don't see very many verses that they use, to be honest with you. And I think there's some people that are more afraid that they don't want to go through it, and they think that they have a right not to go through it and that God's going to deliver them from that. And I'm sure the Waldensians probably thought that the tribulation was that the wrath of God was poured out upon them. I'm sure they probably thought,
they thought it was the end.
Yeah, they thought the Antichrist was there, and when the millions were being killed and slaughtered. Isn't it weird how this guy, now he's got Big Brother Cooley. He's got a new name.
Big Brother.
He wants to stalk me for some reason. He should get a job and get out of his mom's basement. That's what he should do. That would help.
Or get raptured.
Yeah. Already. Anyway, but yeah, that was a threat. I saw that, Cindy Nelson. But as you can see, I'm not too afraid of it.
So you're getting threatened for saying your post-trib?
Well, I don't know what that guy is, what he is.
Is that the Whaler dude?
Yeah, he's coming back in different things.
The harpoon, that guy.
Apparently, they like to come after me. Anyway, well, listen, those are the references to tribulation and tribulations in the Bible. And they will get you started down that path. We need to talk about a lot of other things, though, in dealing with why I hold to a post-trib position. And we can talk about that for sure and go through that. And I'll share with you why I believe that. I used to believe in a pre-trib position, but I never really studied it out that deeply. After I did, yeah, the guy's got all kinds of names. I don't understand what the guy's problem is. Look, those are amateur trolls. I've had real life trolls that are way meaner than those guys.
Yeah, they come here, they drive thousands of miles.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. Yeah. Anyway, but we'll go through it this week. Maybe Matthew chapter 24 we'll talk about on Wednesday. Maybe we'll go through Matthew 24 and talk about that. And look at the scriptures that deal with that. And I'm just looking at scripture. I'm not using anybody's books. I just gave you all Bible. I didn't even have any notes on it. We're just describing what the Bible says about tribulation. And, oh, by the way, I should mention, I think we're gonna go to the Smoky Mountains for vacation in November. I think that's where we're going to go. I'm just not sure yet 100%, but I think we might go to the Smoky Mountains. And so that should be fun, actually. Get away for a little while, go to the Smoky Mountains, and hopefully it'll be warm still. Somewhere over by there, anyway. And have a good time over there and enjoy some be gone for about 10 days probably and enjoy the time with family. So I think that's where we're going to go, is the Smoky Mountains area. So if anybody's near there, besides weird troll people, but if any real people are near there and want to meet up, that would be fine. You know, we could do that for sure. So just try to make that happen. We could definitely try that. That would be fine with me. But could you elaborate on your position on finding that middle ground between covenant theology and dispensationalism on one of your upcoming streams? I think a lot of pre-trib depend on dispensationalism. I do, and I believe that there are a lot of truths in dispensationalism. I just don't agree with all of it. I just don't agree with the entire system. I think anytime you try to take a system and you try to form the Bible around your system, you're going to miss some things. And that's what's going to happen. So I think that's one of the problems that people go through with that, is that they do that. And, yeah, sometimes I can. Sometimes I can do that. I don't really have this, like, system that I follow. Like, Ruckmanites follow this hyper-dispensational system, and then they all break it down to what they think is hyper, which I think they're all hyper. But they would disagree with me, obviously, for sure. But and I would disagree with them. I have waited for that verse that proves the pre-trib rapture. I really have. You know, I'd really like it to be true, but I just don't believe it is. And it's strange to me how people have bought into it. But they have, so. But, yeah, I need a good chart. If somebody would believe me more if I had a good chart, if I had a cool chart. Anyway, but we'll go through some of those things and on the rapture and on the timing and on when and the imminency issue in Matthew 24 and all these other things. And I think I'll try to explain to you what I believe from the scriptures. And I'll try to do it from the Bible, straight from the Bible there, and show you the differences. You know, unless I, you know, I do Halloween or something on Wednesday. I don't know yet. We'll figure that out as time goes on here over the next couple days. But I hope you have a good day. I got to get working out. I'm running late right now. I got to go run and get some exercise in for the day. I didn't get any in. And I didn't even get to walk my 3 miles today I usually walk. I didn't get to do that at all. I had to go pick up this Focusrite thing right here so I could do this broadcast. And then Aaron got me to go to this Mexican restaurant and eat this big fat El Pastor burrito, named after El Pastor Cooley. Is that what we call it? Do we call it the El Pastor Cooley burrito? That's what we call it. Boy, was it good. Great. Then me and my friends will be there playing loud music in the Smoky Mountains, and your kids will love it. Well, here's the thing, Joseph Waller. I don't think you could even get near me anyway if you wanted to. And the day that I'd be afraid of a little pissant like you coming near me would be the day that I'd have to just, like, pack it in. But since I have a God in heaven that deals with people like you, I won't worry too much about people like you. I let God deal with people like you. He takes care of all those things for me. I don't need to worry about people like you. God will deal with you. I mean, it's the way it goes. I pray to him. He's the one that deals with people. I stopped being a fighter a long time ago with my fist. Unless I have to, of course, defend myself. And then that would be like a totally different story.
I'm just waiting. I'll kick your butt. I'm not going to type that.
But I think it's weird that you would even talk about approaching me when you don't even like me, and then you're talking about, like, approaching me. It's kind of weird. But God will deal with you. I'm not too worried about it. I leave that up to him. He'll take care of you. Right? Amen. By the way, you know what's really sad? Some absolute stinking wicked pervert at this number right here just sent me something at my on my phone here. I have a feeling it's the same person that's over here that's on this, but I mean, I could take it to the cops. I don't know what it is because it's probably an image that I haven't pulled up.
I would ask them to look.
But I could take it to the police because I'm pretty sure it's probably the same person. So if you're sending me perverted stuff like this, I have it right here on my phone. I don't know whose number this is, but I just saw something that was, you know, here, I'll show it to you here. I'm not showing you any images because I haven't looked at it. I don't really want to look at it. But this number right here.
Everybody should call that number.
This number right here just sent me something like really weird. So I don't know. I don't know what that is, but if I get harassed like that, there's something I guess I can just call the police and have them deal with it. Be fine with me. That'll take care of that quick.
So this guy threatened you? Online?
Well, he's saying he's going to approach me and my kids wherever I go or something like that. So it's almost like he's stalking me. It's kind of weird. But you know what? I'll let God deal with him. That's okay. I've had a lot of people try to hurt me. But you know what? By God's grace, I'm still here. I'm still doing what God called me to do. And that's preaching the gospel to lost sinners. That's warning them to flee from the wrath to come. Warning them that there's a judgment coming upon all men, for that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Warning them that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Warning you that if you don't repent and believe the gospel, you're going to die and go to a devil's hell for all of eternity. That's what God's word says. God's very clear about that. God hates all workers of iniquity. That's what the Bible says. It says, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out.
Then God will love you.
Yeah, and then you'll be a child of God. And then you'll have a home in heaven.
After much tribulation,
that's right. But I would, if I was you, I would think about what you're doing. Amen. I would think about your life. I would think about the fact that you want to harass a Bible preacher because you don't agree with how he lives his life. That's what I would do if I was you. I'd really reflect why you have so much hate and evil in your heart that you would have to do that. I feel bad for a person like you. You're going to die and go to hell. The Bible says their foot shall slide in due time. They are just like a dangling spider on a web over the pit of hell. And at any moment, that web can break. And they die and slip into hell. Just that fast. I would think about your soul. I would think about your life. I would think about how important it is. Because it can be any time. God's not playing games. God is very serious. Very serious. But Jesus Christ gave his life. He shed his blood to save your soul. I would think about that God, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Anyway, think about your own soul. Think about it. Eternity is a long time for you to be wrong. Eternity is a long time for you to be lost and dead in your sins. Think about it. All right. Well, anyway, folks, I'm going to get out of here. Been on here about an hour and a half, and that's as long as I can give today. I got started late, but we'll work on it here next week, on Wednesday. We'll be back with you and wherever the Lord leads. And we'll see what God does with that this week. But anyway, have a good week, everybody. And hope you trust the Lord and live for Him this week here in this next couple days and follow Him. And study your Bibles and read and pray and see if these things are so. Do your own study on tribulation. Do your own study on these things. Have a good night.